Yes, I think Swansea City were almost relegated three times, actually, because of that. So they stopped announcing that they knew Pastor Yang after that. So, yeah. No, it is a great joy to be with you. Happy birthday, Singapore! Come on. Come on. It's good to see so many of you. I expected half of you to be eating by now or celebrating or watching the fireworks as it's going to go on. So thank you so much. I wore something red just for you. So there we are. The only other red thing I had was my Liverpool shirt. Now, the motto of Liverpool is you'll never walk alone, which is straight out of the Bible, by the way, which is very, very important. But I thought if I wear my Liverpool shirt to Cornerstone Church, the motto might become you'll never walk again. So I didn't risk it, Pastor. I didn't risk it. I know you're a good man of God, but I didn't want to push that too far. So thank you. It's a wonderful, I love coming to Cornerstone. I love also being part of Bible College of Wales. It is genuinely some of the highlights of my year, and I absolutely enjoy it. And thank you so much for having me again. Thank you for the trust. Thank you for the opportunity and for the blessing of being with you. And so for a few moments this evening, I want to share from the Word of God. And in many ways, the way Pastor prayed tonight has really led into what I want to say. Just a lovely confirmation. So, if you've got a Bible with you, I'm going to read from the Gospel of Luke, chapter 24. And just a short reading, but if you do want to follow it, you've got it on your phone or your tablet or even a Bible with pages. Like mine, then I grab that. Luke chapter 24. Now, let me set you the scene as you're finding that is Jesus has risen from the dead, and this is, according to Luke's gospel, the first resurrection encounter that starts to happen. And so we'll pick it up from verse 1, and it says this. So we've got this beautiful introduction. On the first day of the week, very early in the morning, the women took the spices they had prepared and went to the tomb. Now, that's the same women mentioned at the end of chapter 23. They found a stone rolled away from the tomb, but when they entered, they did not find the body of the Lord Jesus. While they were wondering about this, suddenly two men in clothes that gleamed like lightning stood beside them. In their fright, the women bowed down with their faces to the ground, but the men said to them, "Why do you look for the living among the dead? He is not here. He is risen. Remember how he told you while he was still with you in Galilee." And then they quote the words of Jesus. "The Son of Man must be delivered into the hands of sinful men to be crucified and on the third day be raised again." Verse 8 says, "Then they remembered his words." It's great to celebrate with you. This is my third year in a row being in Singapore for National Day. So I'm looking for maybe temporary status or something, see if I can live here temporarily. I love it here. And I've had the joy of being here as you have celebrated, as it were, the birth of your nation in terms of modern Singapore. And one of the things I love about a celebration like this, I think it has three elements to it. I think there's a sense in which we can celebrate today, so we can really enjoy this actual moment, celebrate it. And of course, I think something like 25,000 people are going to be literally watching the celebrations in seated comfort in a few hours' time. But we can also, of course, not just celebrate today, we can anticipate tomorrow. So part of celebrating today is we're looking forward, and we're, as Pastor has encouraged us to think about it, we're thinking about the future of this nation. What does God want to do with us? What does God want to do in us and through us? But of course, an important part of celebration like this is to remember the past. I'm so glad Pastor did what he did, because there will be people in this room. Pastor, in fact, is one of them. He was 6 years old when this nation was birth, and there will be others in this room, and maybe some online, and many others who are part of Cornerstone who were alive or around and who can either remember or have felt the impact of that moment. Now, I wasn't around back then. I've seen the benefit of being in Singapore and enjoying all the magnificent things that Singapore has to offer. Somebody said to me, like, describe Singapore to someone who's never been. I said, well, it's like a giant kitchen. that people live in. And they leave the kitchen occasionally to shop. So that's sort of, and I love being here. But of course, I've never experienced some of the things that happened 60 years ago. And that's why it's important when we're celebrating today modern Singapore and all the ways this nation's been blessed and anticipating what's going to happen, we should never forget. We need to remember some stuff because remembering that stuff is an important part of our celebration today. We haven't just arrived. We've been here because something happened yesterday. And we want to remember that. This week, I don't know if you were aware of it on the news, we also remembered the 80th anniversary of the dropping of the atomic bomb. Wow. Now, that's something to remember, right? And that was dropped on Hiroshima and also a second city of Nagasaki. And it's estimated that around about 200,000 people directly or indirectly died as a result of that. Now, I think that's something we need to remember. And here's why I think that's important. Because if you don't remember, you'll forget. And the reason we need to remember is because we're prone to forgetting. When I was leaving home to go to Bible college, I think last time I was here, I told you a story about my mum. My mum was only 4'11", so a tiny little lady. But what she lacked in stature, she certainly made up for in, shall I say, energy when it came to raising her children. And as I was about to leave for Bible college, my mum beckoned me over and I went to her, thinking she was going to hug me and kiss me. But she grabbed me by the front of my clothes like that. She pulled me close, and I'm like pulled down like that, and she said, "Wherever you go, always remember where you came from." And I went, "Okay, Mother, just let me go." Okay, if you don't let go of me, I'll not be able to remember anything because I'll be dead. I can't breathe. Leave me alone. But my mom was right. As we go forward, there's some things we mustn't forget. There's some things we have to remember. Forgetfulness is part of the human condition. Whoever you are, whatever sort of memory you have, we're all prone to forgetfulness. I was having a coffee this week in Singapore, and I went into his shop, and you know, he said, sort of told me the price of the coffee, and I tapped my card, and for some reason, it wouldn't accept the tap, and it said, "Please insert your card and put in your PIN code." And I had a moment of panic because I'm thinking it's 4 digits, but what are the digits of what are the order? And the first numbers that came to me were 6, 6. I said, "No, that's not the number. That's not the PIN code at all." But I literally, for a moment, froze in a bit of terror because I forgot. Something as common as my PIN code, because I've just got used to tapping, I actually had forgotten. Forgetfulness is part of the human condition. And when it comes to our journey as followers of Jesus, certain aspects of forgetfulness can be our enemy. We're called to remember certain things that are so crucial that if we forget them, they will affect the rest of our lives. If we forget certain things from yesterday, it will impact today and it will have a restricting influence on our tomorrow. It's interesting that when Moses is about to release the people of God into the land of promise, a land that he doesn't get into himself, he downloads a bunch of words. We call it the book of Deuteronomy. In Hebrew, Davrim, words, the last words of Moses. And it's fascinating, in the last words of Moses, in 34 chapters of the book of Deuteronomy, Moses, with the words of God, reminds the people to remember 18 times. 18 times. Added to that, he doesn't just say remember, he then adds in the effect, do not forget. And he says, do not forget 10 times. So in the space of 34 chapters of a book that's called Words, they are reminded 28 times, don't forget this. Remember this. Why? Because you're about to go into the land of promise. That's their future. We are the people of God now. But one of the things that is going to help us to be the people of God today and possess the land tomorrow is that we don't forget certain things.
We remember some stuff. We remember the words of God. We remember the works of God. We remember the wonders of God. We will not forget. And humans are prone to forget. That's why we have to remember. Because, ladies and gentlemen, if we don't remember, we will forget. And you and I have to remind ourselves to remember. Jesus gave us a simple feast. A feast with a piece of bread and a feast with a cup of wine. And twice in the midst of the feast, he said, do this to remember. Remember, remember, remember. Why are we told constantly in the scriptures to remember? Because if we don't remember, we will forget. And this brings us to our story. Did you notice that there's a nudge to remembering twice in the story? And we get this lovely moment where the women find themselves at the tomb. They're met by two angels in the context of that. And the men say these amazing words. Why are you looking for the living among the dead? He's not here. And then they say this, remember what he told you. And I note this, they don't just point to the empty tomb and say he's alive. They point to the words he's already spoken. Words that they need to remember. Words that are crucial for these women to remember. And then, of course, we get this lovely expression from Luke. Then they remembered his words. Love that. Now, here's the thing. If they remembered his words, it means they forgot his words. Remember. Remember what? Remember what he told you. And then they repeat the words of Jesus. And then it says, oh, then they remembered his words. Well, so what? Well, this is remarkable because of who forgot the words of Jesus and who's now doing the remembering. These women at the tomb are remarkable women. In fact, these are hardcore followers of Jesus. These women in Luke's gospel are first introduced to us way back in Luke chapter 8. Luke gives us a lovely golden thread with the relationship between Jesus and these women. And if you went all the way back to Luke chapter 8, verses 1 to 3, it says these words. It says, after this, Jesus traveled about from one town and village to another, proclaiming the good news of the kingdom. It says this, the 12 were with him, and also some women who had been cured of evil spirits and diseases. And then it names some of the women. And it says, Mary, called Magdalene, from whom 7 demons had come out, Joanna, the wife of Cusa, the manager of Herod's household, Susanna, and many others. And then it says this, these women were helping to support them out of their means. So we learn a number of things about these women. Number one, they are early followers of Jesus. This is the Galilean part of Jesus' ministry. So this is probably in the first year of his ministry, these women have had their lives transformed. Not only have they had their lives transformed, but in response to that, many of them are supporting the ministry of Jesus out of their own wealth. Amazing. Incredible women. Now track Dr. Luke to chapter 23. We go all the way to chapter 23 and the crucifixion moment. And it says this, verses 55 to 60, 56. The women who had come with Jesus from Galilee followed Joseph, that's Joseph of Arimathea, and saw the tomb and how his body was laid. Then they went home and prepared the spices and perfumes, but they rested on the Sabbath and according to the commandment. Now, two things. One's explicit, one implicit. The women following Joseph meant that the women were at the cross right to the bitter end. So when some of the male disciples had left, they're still there. They're there right to the bitter end. And then secondly, what do? They sort of follow Joseph to find out which tomb they're going to put Jesus in so that they can return after Sabbath and minister. John, what's your point? My point is this, that the women who forgot were hardcore followers of Jesus. These women had been with Jesus for almost 3 years. These women had had their lives transformed by Jesus. These women were putting their own money on the table to support Jesus' ministry. These women were at the crucifixion, and yet they forgot. If they can forget, so could we. And that's why we have to remember, because even people like this could forget. Here's the other wee thing to notice which is extraordinary. What did they forget? They forgot the words of Jesus. Now, listen to this. These women forgot the actual words of Jesus spoken by the actual Jesus. These aren't the words of somebody else reporting the words of Jesus. The words they forgot, which the angels quote, are the actual words of Jesus said by the actual Jesus. Now, if women who've had their lives transformed, women who put their money where their mouth was and supported the ministry of Jesus, women who've been with Jesus for the guts of 3 years, women who were at the cross to the bitter end, and women who heard the actual words of Jesus from the actual Jesus, can forget. So can we. And in my journey as a follower of Jesus, I've had to wrestle with forgetfulness so that I don't forget the things I'm supposed to remember. There are things I need to remember. This church has just celebrated 30 years of ministry. And part of that celebration is not just celebrating today and anticipating tomorrow, but remembering yesterday. People will walk into this church, take an Instagram picture and go, wow, this is amazing. Wow, this is awesome. But 30 years ago, it didn't look amazing or awesome. And actually, we're here today in this wonderful auditorium. We're here in this today in this wonderful building, part of an amazing church community that is influencing the world. And one of the things we've got to do, celebrate today, anticipate tomorrow, but remember the words of God. Remember the wonders of God, and remember the works of God that He's already done in Cornerstone. Because the things He's done, He could do again. The things He said, He wants to fulfill. The wonders He performs, He wants to exact today in our world. And we must not forget, because the danger is, if we don't remember, we will forget. And there's some things we're being called not to forget. Does that make sense to you? David said this, "Bless the Lord, O my soul." And picking up the exact words of Moses, David says, "And forget not all His benefits." Don't forget His benefits. Remember them. Amen? But what causes us to forget? In my journey as a follower of Jesus, and I think in my study of the Scriptures, I think there are two things in particular that keep popping up that sort of encourage us, if you like, to forget. The first thing that often encourages us to forget is pressure. Or pain. I think this is the experience of the women. I think the women have just seen Jesus brutally executed in the most horrific way. And when you see the way that their savior, their rabbi, their master was persecuted, it would be the easiest thing in the world to forget that He said He would rise from the dead. In fact, every single time Jesus said He was going to die, He always said He would rise from the dead. And yet, they saw Him die, but forgot that He said He would rise from the dead. And pain and pressure have a nasty ability to force forgetfulness into our hearts and into our minds. My oldest daughter and her husband bought an older house. And the idea was, buy an older house cheaper and then sort of do it up. It's a doer-upper, as it were. And so they've been working through the house and doing it up. As they've been doing it up, someone blessed them with money to buy a brand new bathroom. So they could go out and sort of spend money and design a brand new bathroom. They've got a lovely big space for their bathroom. And so someone paid for them to have a brand new bathroom. Okay, you're a hard crowd to impress. I thought that was pretty good. All right, clearly you are a prosperous community. So God bless you all. And may you enjoy your bathroom, whatever that looks like. All right, not only were they blessed with a brand new bathroom, and I'm not making this up, someone blessed them with enough money to buy a brand new kitchen. Oh, thank you, you're getting with the program. Okay, marvelous, right? And there's a company in the UK called IKEA. Do you have IKEA here? Right, wasn't sure. And you have IKEA. And they were able to go to IKEA and buy this brand new, gorgeous, all singing on dancing kitchen. And so they rip out the old kitchen. But when they ripped out the old kitchen, my son-in-law, who's very good with DIY, very good with his hands, very good at fixing stuff, he looked at the wiring of the old kitchen. And he said, this doesn't look very good to me. So he called a friend and said, if I send you a picture, can you give me a bit of a feel on what I'm looking at? And the guy looked at the picture and said, I think you've got a problem. So they called our electrician, the guy who does all our electrics in the church, brilliant guy. He came out in an emergency, took one look at it and went, your house is condemned. This house needs to be rewired from top to bottom. He said, how long have you lived here? My son-in-law told him. He said, it's a miracle. And our electrician is not a Christian. He said, it is a miracle your house hasn't gone on fire. Now, if you've ever owned a property, you've had to do something like that. Singapore is probably not old enough to have to do the rewire of a house. But if you've ever had that, it is horrific. You've got to literally, because of disability laws, we've got to literally chisel every wall, move every plug, move every light switch. Ceilings had to come down. Walls had to be chiseled out. It was a nightmare. And in the midst of all of that, my oldest daughter, bless her heart, heavily pregnant with our third grandchild, she just starts crying, this is awful, this is terrible, oh God, this is terrible. And in the midst of her pain, when we were reflecting over this over Christmas and New Year, we said as a family, and we shared about all the good things God's done for us in the last year, and we literally had to sit together and rehearse all the good things God's done for us. My daughter made this confession. She said, you know, the Lord blessed us with a bathroom. The Lord blessed us with a kitchen. But when we discovered we had to rewire the house, I forgot all those blessings. The rewire clouded the blessing of the bathroom, which they've now finished and looks amazing. Should have brought some pictures. They've got a brand new kitchen, which looks amazing. But at Christmas time, they moved in with us because their house was a complete mess. You see, when pressure comes and pain comes, one of the challenges, we forget the blessings. We forget what God has done. We forget what God is doing. We forget what God has said to us. This is the problem with the Old Testament people of God. No sooner are they out of the land of slavery that they forget God. Listen to these words. At Horeb or Mount Sinai, they made a calf. They made a calf and worshipped an idol cast from metal. They exchanged their glorious God for an image of a bull which eats grass. They forgot the God who saved them. I mean, it's still fresh in the memory. God opened the Red Sea. Almost 2 million people crossed the Red Sea on dry land. Then God closes the Red Sea on the Egyptian army. How do you forget that? But they did. And when did they forget it? When Moses went up the mountain, when they were left alone, when they started to feel the pressure and the pain. And they ended up worshiping a golden calf. One of the challenges, my friends, is that when we're under pressure and when we're in pain, it is easy to forget the promises of God. But I want to submit to you that that's the very time we need to remember them. That's the moment we need to get our journals out, get our Bibles out, get our notes out, get the stuff out that God spoke to us about, and remember, in the middle of having your life rewired, remember the bathroom. Remember the kitchen. Remember the blessings of the Lord. Remember his words. Remember his promises. Remember what he said to you. He hasn't suddenly forgotten you. He hasn't suddenly abandoned you. He loves you. He wants the best for you. And all right, you're in the middle of some pressure. You're in the middle of some pain. He hasn't forgotten you. And it's in the pressure and the pain that we are called to remember his promises, to remember his words, to remember his works, to remember his wonders. When you're up to your neck in dust and dirt and difficulty and pressure and pain, remember. Remember, remember, remember. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all his benefits. Remember, 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 remember. Because if you remember, you won't forget. Come on. If you remember, you won't forget. And sometimes the pressure causes us to forget. Secondly, and quickly, the other thing that causes us to forget sometimes is prosperity. What? Yeah. I think sometimes prosperity can do to us negatively what pressure doesn't. And actually, when we look at the scriptures, we see this sort of pattern. And here's the kicker. Here's the irony. The God of heaven that we've been worshiping today through Jesus Christ wants to bless us. I mean, he wants to cause our cup to overflow. He says, seek first the kingdom. Seek first the righteousness of that kingdom, and all these things will be given to you. I want to bless you. I want to do something amazing. But here's the terrible paradox. The very thing, the very blessing he gives us, if we don't remember in the blessing, we can forget who blessed us, and then we actually find ourselves struggling in the things of God. I think this is what Moses is pointing towards when he speaks to the people about remembering. Remember, they're about to leave a wilderness experience where they've had manna for the guts of 40 years. And, you know, great Singaporean chefs could probably do amazing things with manna. But there's only so many ways you can serve manna, right? Stir-fried, curry, boiled, not even with noodles. Okay, it's like there's only so much you can do. So imagine being on a staple diet of manna with some quail, some bird meat, and then you're looking at a land that's described this way, flowing, 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 with milk and honey. Now, if you're lactose intolerant, we're really sorry. All right, so you know what I mean? I don't know if Moses asked if anybody had any allergies that day before that was described, but you're thinking, are there any other options apart from milk? Okay, milk and honey. Wow. Now, if you've been eating manna and some quail for 38 to 40 years, and then suddenly there's milk and honey, here's one of the dangers. You get so caught up with the milk and honey, you forget the God who gave you the milk and honey. And actually, I think it's an incredible, incredible idea. Walter Brueggemann, in his brilliant book, Sabbath as Resistance, he says this, Moses knows that prosperity breeds amnesia. The prophet Hosea echoes this very idea. The prophet Hosea, quoting God, says this, when I fed them, they were satisfied. And when they were satisfied, they blessed me. No, when they were satisfied, they became proud. And then the killer blow. Then they forgot me. Wow. Wow. What a thing that we would forget the God who blessed us. God has blessed this nation. Pastor said this. God has blessed this church in so many ways, but certainly materially. This is a premier first world nation. And God has blessed you. There are people in this auditorium today who have lives today they could not have imagined you would have 30 years ago, 20 years ago, 25 years ago. You couldn't have imagined it. If you look at modern Singapore compared to that first experience 60 years ago, no one could have imagined what this would become. Is that fair? My grandfather fought in the Second World War, and he came to Singapore on a number of occasions on the way to Myanmar or Burma to fight. And then it was a port. Port City. Nothing to write home about. But now, people don't just write home about it, they take selfies about it and Instagram pictures. Everywhere we go, we're taking pictures of Singapore because it's fantastic. We couldn't have imagined where we are today. And I know it's all relative, and there will be people very prosperous financially and people not so much. I get all of that. But collectively, my goodness, this is amazing. And here's what we mustn't do. We mustn't forget the God who prospered us in the prosperity. But you say, John, I work hard. I earn my apartment. I earn my car. I earn the right to go out and have a nice dinner tonight on National Day. Absolutely, I totally hear you. But the Bible teaches us it is the God of heaven who empowers you to prosper. All good and perfect gifts have come to us from the God of heavenly lights. The Father above, he gives us all of these things. And so we want to remember. Does that make sense? Because in your prosperity, if you don't remember, you'll forget. And if you forget in your prosperity, then the prosperity becomes a meaning of its own. A few years ago, when I was leading a church, so it's a number of years ago, so I can use this illustration. We had a wonderful young couple in our church, and they came to me and said, Pastor, we want you to pray that God will bless us and prosper us. And I said, why? Because, Pastor, we want to bless missionaries. We want to bless the church. We want to have missionaries in our home because we were a big missions church. We want to get involved. We want to be hospitable. We want to do all of those things. We want to pump money into the kingdom. And I go, wow, that's amazing. So we prayed, and the Lord was gracious. The Lord blessed the socks off them. And they got promotions, both of them. And they got amazing jobs with amazing promotions, and the money just started to roll in, relatively speaking. They were so happy and so blessed, and instead of opening up their home, they bought a bigger home. That's fine. Do what you want. Your money. But then when they built the bigger home, well, we need to decorate the bigger home. And then we noticed that actually they went from attending church every week to like every other week. And then 1 in 3. And then 1 in 4. And then, you know, they had a little bit of extra money, so they were able to travel to Paris the odd weekend and fly into a nice city break in Europe and have little holidays. And my goodness, Pastor, we're blessed. Now listen, there's nothing wrong with a big house. There's nothing wrong with going to Paris. There's nothing wrong with having a nice car. And there's nothing wrong with enjoying yourself. None of those things. That's not the point. The point is, in their prosperity, they forgot. They forgot. No missionaries ever got to their home. I didn't even get to their home. And I'm lovely. I mean, why would you want me in your home? I never even got there. We never saw the outflow of the inflow. And I'm not judging them. Genuinely, I'm not. But they forgot. There's nothing wrong with the money they received. There was nothing wrong with the house or the car or the aspirations. But the issue was not what they had. The issue was they forgot who gave it. Is that somebody in the room? Maybe there's somebody in this room, and the pressure and the pain that you are in right now has caused you to forget. And I want to encourage you in a moment, remember. Remember his promises. Remember his words. Remember his works. Remember his wonders. Remember what he did yesterday or last year or 2 years ago. Remember, 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 remember. And in that remembering, that will bring a sense of encouragement and even revelatory faith back into your life that helps you to live today. Is there someone in the room? The Lord has blessed the socks off you. He answered your prayer. He's blessed you in the most amazing way. And you've sort of forgotten that it's him. That in the midst of your prosperity, you've forgotten the God who has prospered you. Every single day, without exception, I rehearse the goodness of God. Without exception. There are 7 things every single day I rehearse as an act of gratitude and praise. Every single day I thank the Lord for saving me for my faith. Every single day I take time to thank God for the family he has given me. Every single day I thank God for the fellowship of faith locally and globally that I'm a part of. Every single day I thank God for financial provision, enough money at least to pay the bills. And some left over. Every single day, I thank God for the food that I eat and the fuel that runs my world.
Every single day I thank God for my health and strength, for my fitness. And every single day I thank God for my future. Now here's the thing. If you spend 10, 15, 20 minutes at the beginning of the day intentionally rejoicing and rehearsing the goodness of God, you will not forget. You will not forget. You will, even in your pain, you will not forget. The psalmist said this, "For you, O God, are good, and your loving kindness endures forever, and your faithfulness through all generations." In your pain, he is good, and his loving kindness endures forever, and his faithfulness through all generations. In your prosperity, he is good, and his loving kindness endures forever, and his faithfulness through all generations. Then they remembered his words. What have you forgotten today? We're celebrating Singapore. We're looking back. We're celebrating today, and we're anticipating the future. But let's think about the Lord. What have you forgotten that you should be remembering? What promise has he made you that you've forgotten? What thing has he done for you that you've forgotten? What thing has he given you that you've forgotten? The Lord would say to you today, the Lord would say to you as an individual, the Lord reminds this magnificent church, remember, remember, remember. Because here's the thing, brothers and sisters, if you remember, you will not forget. Why don't you stand with me? Some things we must not forget. There are some things we want to put behind us because they should be behind us. Paul said, forgetting what is behind, I press on to what's before. Absolutely. But Moses, David, the angels, the Lord reminds us, remember, remember, remember. And some of us in this room will have to remember the words God has said. Remember the works God has performed. Remember the wonders that God has done. And as you remember, brothers and sisters, I believe that God will help us in the moment we are in to both endure and overcome the pressure, but also enjoy and use the prosperity. Wherever you are, he wants you to know that you are not forgotten. You are remembered. And as he remembers you, so he calls us to remember his words. Remember his works. Remember his wonders. Holy Spirit, I pray that as men and women stand in this room, this beautiful room today, you will stir up memories. May words that have been forgotten come to remembrance in Jesus' name. May works that have been forgotten come to remembrance in Jesus' name. May wonders that you have performed for us as individuals and for this glorious community, may they be brought to remembrance in Jesus' name. We resist the enemy who wants to encourage spiritual amnesia in our hearts. That we would forget the goodness of the Lord, that we would forget the loving kindness of the Lord, that we would forget the faithfulness of the Lord. We come against this forgetfulness in the name of Jesus. And we pray that remembrance will stir across this house, that we will remember. We will remember. In our pain, we will remember. In the pressure, we will remember. In the blessings, we will remember. In the prosperity, we will remember. And Lord, I pray that through remembering, our faith will be stirred. Lord Jesus, may you do something great among each one of us. May we celebrate today
May we gloriously anticipate tomorrow. But may we always, 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 always remember what you have done and what you have said over our lives. In Jesus' name, amen.
You've just listened to a production of Cornerstone Community Church. Please note that all unauthorized reproduction, distribution, or sale of the recording is prohibited. For permission to reproduce or distribute the sermon, please write into mail@cscc.org.sg. We hope that you have been blessed.